Welcome to Stories of Hope. This is a podcast by the Dream Center,
where you will hear from people who have stories that once seemed hopeless.
People whose stories of redemption and life transformation are so powerful, they can only be possible by the power of Jesus. All right, everybody, welcome back. We're super excited for this episode. We get to sit down with Chris Wilson, our executive director, in just like a bonus episode for the season. We have spent the last few months being really excited about relaunching this podcast and seeing what the Lord is doing at the Dream Center as a whole. And this is one of those exciting postseason updates that we get to give you guys. Just with some background, we've only ever done one of these before. It was in the middle of COVID. It was before a lot of our team now was here and different hosts of the podcast and just all these things. And so we're really excited to get to just talk through what we've seen the Lord do just in the last probably about year and a half, and to move forward. So Chris, thanks for being here today and joining us.
I am thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled that the podcast relaunched because it's something that we had to take a break from after COVID, and it has just been a breath of fresh air to be able to hear the stories of hope be shared again.
Yeah, and there's so much more that, you know, we said so many times through this season that there are so many more, even with the guests that we had on the show, just how many more stories there really are. And so I think we'll get to tackle a decent amount of those today just from a, you know, big Dream Center perspective and seeing what God has done in this ministry. So I'd love to kind of talk, you know, we mentioned started the podcast during COVID. We had to, you know, it was, I say we, I wasn't even here yet. So
yeah,
it was pre-us. But classes had to stop, ministry had to stop to some extent for a period. So I'd love to kind of start with, you know, classes is one of our biggest ministries here. We offer classes to the public 4 days a week. We have right now, which is amazing, right around 70 classes a month available.
Incredible.
And I'd love to kind of just hear what that looked like from having to stop that to trying to revamp back up even into just the last year of what that's looked like with getting classes rolling again.
It was so challenging because when COVID came around, it impacted everything we did. And I mean, we took a hit on our volunteers because they didn't feel like, you know, they could come out. Mm-hmm. So no teachers to teach the classes and no people to come to the classes. And what had taken us 10 years to build, suddenly nobody was here for the classes. So I feel like we almost had to start again with building those back up. But it was a great opportunity to look at it as a chance to become even better. Mm-hmm. And to see these classes in a way that are building, just offering hope to people regardless of who they are,
right.
And that the content would be, I feel like the classes now are better than they've ever been. We've got the best attendance we've ever had,
right.
But it really went from full classes to zero in a short period of time. And even from us shutting our stores down for several weeks, and the one thing that never stopped was our Opportunity Village residents,
right.
And they lived here. They were quarantined here for 12 weeks without leaving.
Sheesh.
They didn't even go to the grocery store for 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And we came every day, and that they were our center of our attention for 12 weeks as a staff, which was great for them because I feel like the children, they had a wonderful, strong support team during that time. They didn't even know anything was wrong because they're like, this is great. So it was, we didn't miss a beat with Opportunity Village. They graduated on time.
Right.
It really helped them. But for the classes, it just, it whittled it down to nothing and we had to start again.
Yeah. So obviously Stories of Hope, you know, this feels like one of those more like businessy, let's give an update. But also there's so much for other organizations that potentially are still trying to bounce back. I mean, even to some extent, like we're still figuring out this new, you know, how do we get people excited to come back again? And how do we provide new classes and better content so people want to be here? What was the hope that was found for you as you kind of helped navigate getting out of that COVID season? Like, was there something that you looked at or were inspired by or questions you asked and able for us to be able to start moving back towards where we were before?
Yes, I prayed. I mean, I thought, I am not an expert on this, and I was getting all these questions, and there were all these points of division and opinion, and I'm like, man, this is messed up. And the Lord kept bringing me back to 1 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. And I kept reading that. It just talks about love and loving people and not having your own way and not having to be, you know, the one that is always right. And so we adopted 1 Corinthians 13 into our core values mm-hmm. during that time. And then the second thing that the Lord led us to think about was the world was in, needed hope. I mean, everywhere you turned, there was despair, there was loss, there was fear, there was grief. And here at the Dream Center, we would come in and we were filled with hope and we were like, wow, look what God's doing here and look what God's doing there. Mm-hmm. And all these stories gave us a renewed strength and hope, and our faith was strengthened. And we thought, man, if only the world could hear and experience some of the things we get to hear and experience, right. and we could give them a little bit of this, it would be hope that maybe somebody needs to hear.
Yeah.
And so we launched the podcast just with that in mind, that we might not be able to do all the things we were doing, but we have some really incredible stories. The Word of God came to life here for me because mm-hmm. I started seeing miracles, and I started right. seeing things that I never experienced in my life that can only be God. And we felt like, wow, that's something that we need to share. We need to share that hope with others. And so once we began doing that, I mean, just this week, I have met with three other organizations. I mean, we've helped well over 100 organizations to mm-hmm. replicate our model, program model over across the country, you know, at no charge.
Yeah.
I just met today with two organizations who are seeking to do what we're doing in other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like God has called us to help other people to have the same kind of hope and vision for helping mm-hmm. people
right.
in a way that is lasting and it's not just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that's when our core verse came in, was during yeah. COVID time. That's
yes.
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, really great time. It's one of those things, too, where even as we're talking and asking these questions, I'm like, I'm so over talking about COVID in mm-hmm. reality. But then I think back, well, we're obviously just like mere weeks from it like being officially not a global emergency or whatever. But also there's so many stories from this season of the podcast that was such a reality for people even now. Like I think about Jonathan and his ministry and how he was starting. A lot of his story was from COVID and his sickness. We've got stories from the store managers who've talked about COVID. So as much as I'm like ready to be done with it, it's also like still just such a reality of people are still trying to figure out what's this new normal. How do we do ministry again? How do we bounce back from what seemed like total destruction? And so I think just getting, you know, these points of views of, I'm sure there's still people that'll hear this that are still trying to figure out how to bounce back and get people back into the building. And it's something that I'm trying to think of all the time with classes of just, all right, how do we keep making this exciting so people want to be here and interesting and trying to just pull them back in? So I think that's great and a huge.
And there's so many aspects of it, though, that have opened up my eyes to see things in a different perspective. Mm. So when we're talking about classes, you know, you and I have been talking about now how the Dream Center is looking to expand our yes. reach for classes into other communities through Zoom and through, you know, feeding it in electronically.
Yeah.
And so we would have never done that had right. we not experienced COVID.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So what could have been meant for bad, the Lord can use for good
yes.
because that taught us that we can reach even more people through our classes. It also is what inspired our podcast.
Right.
And it taught me that nothing's wasted. So sometimes, even though COVID was a tough season, this past year's probably been even tougher for me because mm-hmm. I walked with my mom through cancer. She passed
right.
away. Just some turnover here at the Dream Center
right.
and some things that were discouraging.
Yeah.
But I look back on it and I see his faithfulness and I see how nothing that we go through is wasted.
Right.
And he will use it to help us. As long as we're walking with him and we're mm-hmm. obedient to what he's telling us to do. So it helps me. Not everybody that comes through the Opportunity Village program makes it to graduation.
Right.
But every moment they're here is for a purpose that helps them. And I know it is not wasted.
Yeah.
And without that hope, it could be defeating.
Yeah.
It's definitely
yeah.
a seed planted.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had conversations about how, you know, it's just, It hurts. Job is hard. But like you said, every moment we spend with them, every word of encouragement, every piece of truth that we speak over them, it might not matter right now, but it could matter 5, 10 years down the road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it matters eternally. I mean, we're just called. The biggest thing I have to remind our team is, especially in this sort of work, is all we are called to do is be faithful to what the Lord tells us to do and give it our best and trust Him with the outcome.
Yeah.
Because we're nobody's savior. I mean, He is the one. Mm-hmm. He's the change agent. And, you know, we're not in charge of the outcome if someone is not ready to change their life. But so many people are ready.
Yeah.
And it is the joy we get to be able to be a part of seeing them change their life.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, no, that's great. Kind of pivoting back to what you said about, you know, we're looking to expand with classes and do these satellite things. Let's talk a little bit about that and then transition into Santa Shop, because one of the areas that we're looking at going into is Greenville. Greenville also joined Santa Shop this year. So maybe kind of talk about that just a little bit, kind of where we're looking with that.
The Santa Shop is a really unique program. It's really the first program that we introduced at the Dream Center. We've had 11 Christmases of the Santa Shop Assistance Program. And when we first started, it was a bit challenging to convince the community to embrace it because it's requiring the parent to take classes. And at Christmas, we're feeling like being generous and we're feeling like being a blessing. And I was the person who would get the, you know, pull the name of the family and take my kids and go buy somebody's Christmas presents and deliver it to them. And what I didn't understand in that moment is, you know, helping someone one time in a crisis is appropriate. Mm-hmm. Someone's lost their job, whatever that emergency might be. But when you're helping a family at Christmas over and over, year after year, you're not really ultimately helping them.
Yeah.
You're, you know, that joy and that blessing that we are feeling by buying their gifts belongs to them. And I realized I was taking that from that parent, and they didn't even realize it. Because if you've never experienced you don't even know what you're missing. So this program empowers parents to take classes to be able to provide an amazing Christmas for their kids, and they get to pick it out. They get to wrap it. And the number one thing they tell us is they didn't feel judged. They felt like they really accomplished something.
Yeah.
They were in community with other people in classes. They were in community with people wrapping their gifts, shopping for their gifts. And these are nice things in our Santa shop. So everything's brand new. And pretty much if you're, you know, my kids were always like, well, why can't we? Can you get it? We don't need to get stuff from the Santa shop. I mean, it's better stuff than most people would have anyway.
Yeah.
But when you go into a community that is used to giving handouts at Christmas, it makes us feel good.
Right.
And they, you know, people say, hey, Jesus is the reason for the season. We should give it to them for free. But we have found that really love looks like empowering them to receive the blessing of providing for their own child.
Yes.
And if you take a family and you give them that opportunity, they'll never go back to handouts at Christmas. Never. So this program has been very, very successful. We have helped other communities to implement the same Christmas program in their communities. And it takes about 2 years to get a community to really embrace the change of a hand up instead of a handout at Christmas, just because it's what we've always done. And it was my favorite thing to do because it feels good to go. It feels good to be the one giving it.
Yes.
But ultimately, it doesn't feel good to be the one receiving it.
Yeah.
And you don't always know that unless you've had the chance to feel what it feels like to be the one giving it. So when you give that parent the chance to experience it and they see, wow, this feels way better than answering the door and getting a trash bag full of gifts handed to me, they will not go back.
Yeah.
So the Santa shop has just expanded and expanded to the point that now we have an off-site location where the Santa shop is up year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, we've increased our classes, we've increased our... We've got three counties now that we're serving through that. We work with the school districts. So I believe in it so much because it is helping people to understand that they can do more than accept a handout at Christmas. Christmas is the same day every year.
Right.
So it's not taking anybody by surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make plans. Everybody has to, I mean, not everybody, but I mean, I have to make plans for providing Christmas. It just doesn't happen. You save, you put money back, you budget. it happens every year. I know it's coming.
Right.
And other people need to learn that too, that look, you knew this was coming. Let's make a plan and be a part of the solution instead of waiting on someone to provide it for you.
Yeah, no, that's great. And even as you said, like, this is our 11th Santa shop season. I was even sitting here thinking, this is going to be my third this year, which is crazy that I've already been here for three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this last year, just getting, you know, I stepped into class coordinating last summer, and it was like, hey, this is really exciting. Also, Santa shop's in a month, so buckle up. And I was like, okay, it'll be fine. And then we went to like 120 classes a month, and it was like, oh, okay, I get it. So it's pretty cool to see how it's growing, seeing more counties, but also like even last year and even thinking into this year, we get to see this this hopeful vision of satellite classes and being able to not make parents drive as far from Greenville to come to classes. They can go to our location there and just satellite in. And so it's just cool to see God giving us more and more opportunities to be able to provide more classes for more families at Christmas.
So another great thing that we got to see over the last season is having the suicide prevention training. I'm even getting messages still about asking when we're going to have the next training, and people were super excited about it because how beneficial it was. So kind of talk through like how we even got that opportunity, some of the great things that we've seen since that opportunity.
So the suicide prevention thing was, you know, our board of directors, we have every year we meet where we discuss like a strategic plan for the Dream Center and what we want to focus on and trying to be very intentional about the direction we're going in. And one of the things that we decided was that we wanted to be a source of strength for this community, to make the community better in whatever way we can. So it doesn't have to be the Santa Shop, or it doesn't have to be Opportunity Village. Right. If there's an opportunity that affects this entire community, we want to see how we can be part of that solution. So I'm not an expert on suicide prevention. I had no knowledge, you know, about that topic as far as the best way to handle it. But we have had so many people come to us for help who have had suicidal thoughts.
Right.
We have had so many people in our lobby with suicidal thoughts where we've called out for help. We've called people and nobody can help us, and we're not sure how to help this person. We've had people in our Opportunity Village, over 75% who've had suicide attempts. And for us to adequately serve them, I've just always felt ill-prepared, you know?
Right.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
What does one do, you know? And so this past year, one of our staff members lost a family member to suicide, and it was devastating to her and to our staff to watch her go through this. And in conversation with her and our staff, we started talking among ourselves and realized that just about every single person on our staff had a story related to either suicidal thoughts or family members who had suicidal thoughts or had committed suicide. It was unbelievable to me how many people were affected by it,
yeah,
including my own family. So I was like, man, this is a problem. Then we started doing some research and found out that our county has been number one in suicide deaths for like 6 years in the whole state of South Carolina.
Wow.
Until this past year, we went to number two. And that wasn't because we've improved. It's because McCormick County got worse.
Yeah.
And so
wow.
I'm like, how is it that we're in the top number for suicide death? All these people are affected, and I don't know what to do when somebody comes to the Dream Center and expresses that. There's something missing. So we reached out in the community to organizations that we felt might know more about the topic, and we immediately had a response from organizations that said, we will be a part of it. If you're doing a training, we want to be involved. And we said, look, we're not experts on this subject, but we can bring the experts in and we can host it and we can get people here.
Yes.
And so we partnered. I sent out an email one weekend asking for sponsors from people and organizations that I knew had cared about this community and cared about this topic. Within 2 days, we had raised all the money to offer this training for free.
Wow.
And that's when I knew the Lord was in this, because people are like, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, we got the city on board, the county on board, the hospital on board. There were so many organizations saying Upstate Warrior Solutions, so many, even the local funeral home.
Yeah.
said, we want to be a part of the solution. So we offered the largest training, and we did it for free. It included free Chick-fil-A lunch. We tried to look at, it was on a Saturday morning, because we said people that work need to be able to come. Students, we want high schoolers to come. We want college students to come. And we want to take the stigma of, like, nobody wants to talk about mental health, or nobody wants to talk about suicide, and just put that to the side and say, what can we do to be prepared for that situation? How can we be part of the solution and start talking about this? And so we held that suicide prevention event, and now we're going to have that annually every March for this community, so that that number, you know, we won't be number one, and we won't be number two, or even number three. That's a measurable number. And I feel like we can't solve the problem, but we can certainly try to be a part of the solution and do what we can with what we have. And so in the past, we even had a gang awareness event one time. I mean, things that impact people who live around us, and in our young people in our community, are things we care about. There are things God cares about, and we can't do everything. So we are, you know, we pray about what we need to be involved in and what needs to be, you know, sponsored here or hosted here. But we are seeking to be a strong resource of unity and education and empowerment for the whole community.
Yeah, which is awesome. And it's been cool to see also, like, with the suicide event, we have this worship night coming up in a few weeks here. There's just so much more in the community that we are realizing, like, hey, we have this amazing space, and we need to like work to be good stewards of this and provide opportunity for people to meet the Lord or get training on different things, and even the way our staff is getting trained, you know, internally. And so it's just cool to see us stepping into this, like, I guess more of like a broad view of, hey, how can we open up our doors more and allow the community, not just our clients, but the community as a whole, to really come inside and be a part of this thing together.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
And absolutely.
That's what the kingdom of God is also about. So, like, we want to do this thing together. We want to have this, you know, big C vision, not just, you know, this one size fits all thing. So it's really cool to just to watch and see. And with that, even our service groups is something that's been also like popping off like crazy. So I think that'd be a really
many groups.
I think that'd be something cool to touch on as well.
We have never had so many groups calling.
Yeah.
And people want to serve. People want to give back. And sometimes they just don't know what the need is or how to do that. And we have, I don't think we could function without the groups that come serve, because they can do more in one day with a large group than we can do in 3 months with our small staff. And it is incredible to me how God just sends that provision when we need it and sends the group when we need it. But every person that comes in our door gets to hear about the vision of the Dream Center. And I love what you just said earlier about the community as a whole, because we do help people that are homeless, and we do help people that are struggling. But, you know, people are people. And what I love is that we want to open our door and this be a place where it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter if you know, live in a house. You can come here and worship and have a worship night alongside, you know, another Christian who has a very different life. We all have the same, you know, desire to have purpose and worth. And I think it's so cool to be able to bring a community together in a way that is unifying, and it's not just, you know, segments of people who never intersect. I mean, the greatest people in my life in today are people that have had very different lives than me. That I would have never met had I stayed in my little bubble.
I think that perfectly reflects how Jesus did his ministry here on earth. Like, all the people that were around him were very different from him, very different from each other. So I think the fact that that's one of our biggest passions and goals here, I feel like that really does align with what Jesus would have wanted for us.
And Revelation doesn't say, like, everybody who came through the Dream Center at this time, or everybody who came through this church, or went to, you know, worked in this organization, every nation and tribe, every tongue, like, it's this, it's this completely kingdom focused, everybody included kind of thing, and providing educate, empower, and encourage is not just a thing for our clients. Like, we have an opportunity to make those things available for everybody in our community who's doing this work in a business or in another nonprofit or in, you know, a shelter or whatever it is. Like, we're working alongside these organizations. We're not sitting here trying to fight each other.
Absolutely.
And so all these different trainings and worship nights and things, like, and I love and I'm thankful that we're, like, just like I said, opening the doors and being like, hey, we'll host and we'll make it available. It doesn't have to be our thing. It wasn't like Dream Center Suicide Prevention Event.
No.
It was an event that's just happens to be in our building.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really, really cool. Really cool to see all that happening.
Yeah. And if people too understand, like, these other, there's so many organizations doing good work. Mm-hmm. I want to come underneath them and support them and empower them and encourage them and, you know, tell them, keep it up, keep going.
Yes.
And not, we're not competing.
Right.
Because they're so, the needs are so great.
Yes.
And those that are called to serve in those needs, it's hard.
Yeah.
So we are seeking to, like you said, encourage, educate, and empower other organizations, other people, other groups, because, you know, we're all people who are just trying to help others and love each other and follow 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, right. It also, in the grand scheme of multiple organizations, saves everybody a little bit of work.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Not,
yes.
Everybody's not reinventing the wheel every week. It's
exactly.
Like, oh, the Dream Center or, you know, Shelter of Hope or whatever, like, they're good at this thing. Let's send these, you know, we don't have this available, so let's send them here. But as we kind of wrap up our time today, what's, like, one of the things that you're looking at right now and that you're most excited about or that you're seeing, you know, as we wrap up Stories of Hope for this season, like, what's one thing that you've either seen that's given you more hope over the last few months, or you're looking ahead and being like, okay, this is even just an idea or a thought, or we're seeing this start to change. Like, what's something that we can leave people excited about and hopefully bring hope to their situation through what we're seeing?
I think the thing that has resonated with me all year is that when we first started the Dream Center, I fought fear all the time because we didn't know a lot about what we were doing and should we do it this way? Should it do it that way? I mean, there's just so many things that, you know, we've had to learn, and there's signs in every tiny house in the Opportunity Village that say faith over fear. And those were basically to myself because I was almost paralyzed with fear of, like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. God's calling us to do this, but what if, but what if, but what if?
Yes.
And I can tell you, through every season of challenge, every season of hardship, and great things don't come easily. I mean, it is not an easy path, but I am so in awe of how the Lord has removed fear.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that this journey has become easy, but for me, I'm excited because God has shown us He is expanding our reach. He is empowering us to be able to help other organizations. And I'm no longer fearful.
Right.
So if anything, I have learned to trust Him more, and that if He gives you a vision, He will give the provision.
Right.
And you cannot wait. You know, you can't make a bargain and say, well, if this happens, then I'll do what God said. Or if, you know, if He sends this, then I'll do what God said. No, if He called you, He called you.
Right.
So start moving your feet and the provision will be there.
Yes.
And so I have such confidence now, and knowing that we just have to walk with Him. We have to talk with Him.
Yes.
We have to be, the biggest thing too is most everything He'll call us to do is not comfortable.
Right.
And I've had to learn, you know, it's usually not something I would choose.
Yep.
But if we trust Him in that, then it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm scared. It's like fearless is a little strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But to go from having so much fear to now, like, bring it. If the Lord calls us to do it, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And, like, that suicide prevention, we knew nothing about that. I was so excited. I was not afraid to do that event. I was excited because God was doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge of the outcome.
Right.
And so if you can get over the fact that you're not in charge of the outcome and you can just focus on what He says to do,
that's great.
It takes all the pressure off of you, and the fear will leave you because you're not responsible for what happens after that. God will do that. And when we can get over ourselves and realize, like, he doesn't need us to do this. He could do it without us. Mm-hmm. He's just allowing us to be a part of it. I would encourage anybody who has been, the Lord has given you a vision, or maybe he's trying to, you know, encourage in your heart to get involved in volunteering somewhere, or starting a ministry, or working with a ministry. Right. I believe everybody should be involved in some way outside of the walls of their church, outside of their own personal, you know, everything about them. They need to be serving somebody else somewhere. So take a step of faith, and it'll be uncomfortable. Almost every single time it'll be uncomfortable. But the things that are the most uncomfortable are the things that God shows an amazing, amazing, his power and his glory in, and it's incredible. So if he asks you to do something that's super scary, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's almost like a decrease in fear and an increase in faith, ultimately.
It is.
The faith wasn't there, but like our faith is something that gets to keep being built up as we walk with the Lord and see him move and hear other stories and all these things. So it's like, it literally is like the fear started to be pushed down and the faith started to rise up, which is awesome.
Because the fear's not from him.
No.
And I've just appreciated it so much because there's a lot of freedom in being able to live and not be afraid. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing I take away this year is there's nothing to fear when you're a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's really good.
That's great. I think it's a great place to wrap up our time and, you know, officially end this season of Stories
it's
of Hope, which
that it's already,
you guys have done a great job.
Well, thank you. I was about to say, just thank you for giving us the opportunity to step into this. And, we love sitting down and getting to plan this every week and record these episodes. And this also feels like a great time to say it. We're also super excited that we're going to move this to not just audio, but also video in the next season and launch a YouTube show.
And
get a whole set and try to like do this thing really well. So again, just thank you for letting us step into this.
Thank you. We're excited.
I think it's going to be great. So, well, for the last time this season, thanks for listening this week, and we are looking forward to the next season of Stories of Hope.